do the scriptures say about works? Where in the Bible can I find a list of the right works I should do? Who decides whether my works are good or dead? Why should I care about works, dead or otherwise? What does the scripture mean when it says to repent from dead works? How do I repent from dead works? My name is Christine Carpenter. I welcome you back to Scripture School. Hope you're here for some more basics of the Bible. Today we're going to get into those very things in doctrine that form the basis of our Judeo-Christian society. So whether you've had years of experience studying the Scriptures or none at all, we're going to be at the basics and we're going to begin learning how those basics can affect our daily life for more success in every area. I hope you have your Scripture School supplies with you. If not, go get them right now. If you're not watching this on a DVD, I hope that you'll put in a videotape cassette so you can record it and watch it again with friends and family and review it for yourself. Be sure to get your favorite writing instrument and, of course, your Scripture School notebook and your favorite Bible. We'll be looking into the Bible. As always, this is Scripture School. And if you begin to hear things you've heard before, that's wonderful because the Bible's very clear about how you learn Scripture, how you learn doctrine. So let's start right out going into the Scriptures. We're going to turn to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. It's found in the Old Testament. And depending on how much information your Bible contains in addition to the Scriptures, if it has concordances and study guides and other articles in your Bible, it may affect where you find Isaiah as to the center of your Bible. Most of the times, it will open in the center to the Psalms. Mine happens to be opening today to Proverbs 4. And I know that the book of Isaiah is after that. So I move toward the back of the Bible just a little bit because the book of Isaiah is one of the major prophets. It's actually the first major prophet in the Scriptures. And we're going to turn to chapter 28. And we're going to look at verse 9. That's Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? That's speaking of the Lord. Who will the Lord teach knowledge to? And we know that the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. What you don't know can hurt you, and especially in the spiritual realm. So, verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And we're looking into doctrine today. We'll have more of that in a moment. Who shall he teach knowledge, and who shall he make understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. And he's really not talking about if you're over 3 years old. He's talking about spiritually, and we'll see that again in some scripture. For precept must be upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So it's precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little. That's how we learn knowledge and doctrine. Well, we're going to go to our key verse in our Scripture School series, and that is the book of 2 Timothy. And again, in your scripture, 2 Timothy is a New Testament book. And when you go looking for that, you want to look in the last quarter of the Bible. And again, if you can find, depending on how much information your Bible has at the back, and if you can find any of the T's, you're close. So Thessalonians comes first, and then Timothy, and then Titus. We're going to 2 Timothy, that comes after 1 Timothy. We're going to chapter 3, and we're going to verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'd like to read that from the New Living Translation. It's sounds a little different, but it has the same information. And it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. Well, in this session of Scripture School, we are going to continue our study on doctrine. That's the first part of 2 Timothy 3:16. Profitable for doctrine. And we're going to, again, look at what is doctrine. The American Heritage Dictionary says doctrine is something that is taught, a principle or body of principles taught or advocated in instruction, a principle or creed of principles presented for acceptance or belief as by a religious, political, or scientific or philosophic group. Dogma, theory, teaching, learning. In our last session, we learned that there were various kinds of doctrine and warnings about the doctrines of men. And we had a symbolic jar bottle here to remind us there are doctrines of men. A time-honored tradition, wise man's 100% pure vinegar, distilled and fermented and decomposed for centuries, always found in the best of pickles. So this reminds us to beware of the doctrine of men. Another warning in scripture we saw last week was about devilish doctrine or the doctrine of devils. And so this was our symbol to remind us about that. Falling star, devilishly good, 90 proof vodka, because Satan doesn't do anything 100 proof. He mixes a little God in it or mixes a little devil in it. Naturally brewed from nature's best and all superior to all other brands. So that reminds us of the doctrine of devils that we need to be aware of. And of course, what we're seeking today and always is the divine water of life eternal, 100% pure at the source, no expiration date, and guaranteed satisfaction. So we talked a little bit about how these are mixed together, and while the natural eye sees vinegar, vodka, and water in the same way, when you put them together and fill your cup, if you mix those together, it makes religious doctrine pretty hard to swallow. So we want to move on and look at what Jesus said about his doctrine. We're going to turn to John chapter 7, and John is the fourth gospel. The New Testament begins with the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you keep your bookmark in the front where it says New Testament, it'll be easy to find John. You just move back through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we're going to John chapter 7. I hope your Bible has the red lettering. Those are the words of Christ highlighted in red. It's wonderful to read those all by themselves. See what Jesus had to say. We're looking at 7 verse 16. And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man or woman will do his will, He shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Jesus said his doctrine was from God. The doctrine we have from Jesus is the doctrine of God. So, what about the doctrines of Christ? It was very clear when we saw last time we met that Hebrews talked about the doctrines of Christ. And we'll turn again to those doctrines. They happen to be in Hebrews chapter 6. But let's start just a little before Hebrews chapter 6. And again, to find Hebrews, we're going back into the New Testament and toward three quarters of the way through the scriptures. So after you have all the T's in the Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus, you have a little book called Philemon. It's the shortest New Testament book. You can see it's just a page there. And then you have Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. We're going to turn to chapter 5. We're going to look at the end of chapter 5. We'll look at verse 11. The writer is saying, of whom we have many things to say. And here he's talking about wanting to tell the Hebrew people more about what he's written before. He wants to tell them more about Jesus being the high priest. But he says, I can't tell you about that. I can't tell you of all the things about Jesus being the high priest. And here's why. He says, of whom I have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. He doesn't mean that they need hearing aids. He means that they just don't have sharply attuned ears. Any of us who have had mothers who could hear what we said in the next room, or maybe a spouse who can hear what you say in the next room, we know there are some people who have keen hearing, or they're just tuned in to what you're saying, or you start talking and they say, oh, brother, I hear that, I understand that. Well, the writer is saying, I want to tell you things, but you just don't get it. And here's why. Verse 12, for when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk. Remember, we saw at the beginning of today's session, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. He's going to teach to those who have been weaned from milk. So we want to hurry and get our first principles of the oracles of God and our first principles of the doctrine of Christ solid once again, and be able to go on, as he said, become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. We want to get to the strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. We don't want to linger in being unskillful in the word of righteousness. We want to move on to be skillful. And how do we do that? But strong meat belongs to those who are of full age spiritually, even those who by reason have use of their full senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Are we willing to use our good senses to discern between good and evil and then choose to do good, to exercise ourselves in righteousness? If we will, the reward is strong meat. Otherwise, we're still remaining unskillful. We're still babes. And let's move on to our key scripture focus for this session and for the next few sessions. Chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. And the way to get to perfection is through strong meat. After you have used your senses to discern good and evil, not laying again the foundation. And here's where we're at today. We are laying a foundation once again. These are Bible basics for all of us to return to. If you have your Bible basics in order, this will be a great review. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. And that's what we're going to cover today. And in sessions to follow, we will be covering faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. So we're going to look into the doctrine of repentance from dead works. You might be saying to yourself, oh, all the works I do, they're good works. I don't even understand why we would be talking about dead works or why I would need to repent from my works. All the works I do are good. Well, we'll look into that good in works in a moment, but right now let's look into the word repentance. Repenting from dead works is the first principle of the doctrine of Christ, the foundation principle. If you leave this principle out, you're building your house on sand, as Jesus taught us in the scriptures. But if you will build your spiritual life upon the foundation of repentance from dead works, you'll be building it on a firm, solid rock foundation. Then when the rains come and the wind blows, it will not wash away your spiritual house. And so we want to look at what repentance means. Repentance is regret or remorse for sin or wrongdoing. Repentance is often given in the illustration of headed out one direction. Say you've left home, you're going toward another destination. You're on your way to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving dinner, and you realize you left the oven on or you left the iron on, and you realize that if that iron continues to heat up, it could overheat. It could begin to melt the ironing board. It could cause a fire to explode in your house. Your house burns down. Well, you're thinking, wait a minute, something's wrong. I have to go back. And so as we realize that something is wrong with our spiritual life and we repent for our wrongdoing, we repent for wrong, as you realize that your house could burn down, you spin your car around and you head right back home. Well, you have just turned in the opposite direction that you were going. Well, spiritually, we turn in an opposite direction. If we've been creating dead works, we want to turn and create living works, works of God. And so we're going to look at what Jesus had to say about works, just in case we're not convinced that there is such a thing as dead works. Here's what Jesus has to say in the book of Matthew. And Matthew is the first gospel in the New Testament. We're turning to Matthew chapter 7. We're looking at verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And have we not cast out devils in thy name? And have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. But they did wonderful works in the name of the Lord. Jesus said, but you didn't know me and I didn't know you. They weren't done because I said, go do this wonderful work. And they weren't done drawing upon my power. We know that the scripture talks about being yoked, evenly yoked. We know that a yoke is something that goes over two animals that are pulling together, oxen or horses or cows or whatever, but the traditional picture is of oxen pulling. If one pulls harder than the other, you know what happens. They go off course. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and light. and you will find peace for your souls. If we do those wonderful works in the name of the Lord, without the Lord, without being yoked with the Lord, we have not done the works of God. We have done a dead work. Let's also look into Psalm chapter 14. And Psalm should be in the middle of your Bible. This time I turn to Psalms. We're going to 14. If you find Job, Psalms comes next. All right, chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Anyone that's doing any kind of work denying God in that work is a fool, first of all, according to the scripture, and has done abominable things because they're doing work without God. It goes on and it says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. It's about getting with God on these things. They all are gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. No one can do good without God. It may look good to the world just as other doctrines to the natural eye look the same, but they're not the same. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? We need to call upon the Lord. We need to be in prayer and asking what we are to do and then do it. Jesus said, I only do the things I see the Father do. I only say the things I hear the Father say. As Christians, Jesus is at the very least our role model in how we live our lives. Let's look again to Luke, and that would be in the New Testament Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, right before John. We're going to Luke chapter 13. We're going to hear more words of Jesus on the idea. All right, we're going to verse 23. Then said one to him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us, and he will answer and say unto you, I know you not from where you're coming from. Then shall you say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught us in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know from not where you're coming. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Jesus is making it clear. You have to know the Spirit of God. You have to be in relationship with God in order to do works, to be called good works. The other works are dead works. What we need to do is open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits in prayer. When we're studying the scriptures, when we're thinking on the things of God, we need to be quiet and listen for the voice of God to speak to us what we are to do, what we are to say. Our life is full of noise, noise from without, noise from within. We must quiet ourselves and listen to the Spirit of God, and then the works that we do will be works eternal. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. Again, New Testament after the T's. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on the unclean sanctifies and purifies the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself, he even did it in the Spirit, not in the flesh. He presented his flesh, but he did it in the Spirit, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. We need to go to Jesus Christ to surrender our dead works. We need to ask in prayer, God, show me my dead works for what they are, lifeless works without the unction of the Holy Spirit, without God's moving me in a direction to fulfill the works of God. We need to repent from dead works. Today, I ask you to make that quest to find yourself free from dead works and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That finishes our session for this time. I hope that you'll join me again next time when we take on the second principle of the doctrine of Christ, which is faith toward God. We'll be looking into the question of how do I integrate into my daily life faith toward God.